four clubs booked their spots in the round of 16 on a night of wonderful drama in the UEFA Champions League. It was heartbreak for Celtic and delight for Bayern, who progressed with virtually the last kick of their match in Munich. Club Brugge produced an away day masterclass to see off Atalanta. Benfica and Monaco shared six goals in Portugal as the home side squeezed through on aggregate. And Feyenoord are into the last 16 after a brilliant display against Milan. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. Well, what a beginning to the decisive second legs of the knockout phase playoffs. This new round in the new era, my word, it has delivered. It finished on Tuesday night. Bayern 1, Celtic 1. Bayern going through just on aggregate. Benfica 3, Monaco 3. Benfica going through 4-3 on aggregate. Atalanta 1, Club Brugge 3, the Belgium side going through 5-2 on aggregate, and in the early game, Milan 1, Feyenoord 1, Feyenoord going through 2-1 on aggregate. Joining me, and there is a lot to discuss, we always seem to say that on a Champions League night, but it's true. First of all, the European football expert Daniele Fisichella, good evening.
Good evening, Chris.
And the football commentator John Bradley, good evening, John.
Hello, Chris.
Right, where to begin? Probably the game that you two were commentating on, where Bayern went into the match with a 2-1 lead, and I think most people expected, even Brendan Rodgers had said in the build-up, Daniele, that yes, we're big underdogs, we need to be brave, but my word, they were more than that. They were seconds away from forcing extra time. It was a brilliant display, even if Bayern just about got over the line.
They were heroic. And they had chances in the first half that they missed by few inches, and they had a good chance in the second half, forcing a mistake by Kim Min-jae that Kun took very well. They were compact, solid, but in the end, it's heartbreaking for them. And Bayern Munich, Munchen managed to score in the last second of the game through Alphonso Davies, a scrappy goal that sees them through, avoiding the extra time. It will feel like a win for Bayern München, but not the way probably they wanted to go through.
Remember, their home stadium will host the final, and Bayern still dreaming of that home final, not for the first time in the history of the UEFA Champions League either. Let's hear now from Daniele and John. This is how an epic night in Bavaria played out.
Now they're trying to break in again. Oh, they are in! It's a mistake by the defender! Incredible! Celtic lead in Munich. It's scored brilliantly by Nicolas Kuhn. The defender couldn't make the challenge.
Nicolas Kuhn, born in Hamburg, a former Bayern Munich player, comes to haunt his former club.
Olise's cross, header down. What a save by Schmeichel. Oh, there's the clearance goes from Carter Vickers. It's a deflection off Alphonso Davies into the net. There's 30 seconds to go, and Bayern are going to go through. Celtic's brave resistance is over.
What a game, what a story. Right at the death is the cross from Sané. Magnificent save from Schmeichel, from Goretzka. And then Davies kept believing there was still a chance by so unfortunate Carter Vickers, because his clearance is right on the shin of the Canadian. The ball goes in. This is heartbreaking for Celtic. They were so close for something historic. Company celebrates. Great sight of relief across the Munchen Fußball Arena.
They all count. Every goal counts. And in the end, it was just about getting it over the line. Alphonso Davies did that, and here he is talking about the goal that seized them into the last 16.
I just tried to get myself in the box, instinct kicked in. I mean, I didn't even need to do much, but just put my foot there. I'm happy to get another goal in the Champions League.
Well, he was a difference maker off the bench. You wondered whether it might come to that for Bayern, given the strength of their squad. John and Daniele, you heard on the commentary there, joining me now to talk through it. Let's actually begin at the end, I think, because Kasper Schmeichel was stood there kind of just looking at the sky thinking, how's that just happened? Because, John, his save from the header, I mean, it was brilliant from Kasper Schmeichel. And really, he didn't deserve then the clearance to go in and ultimately Celtic to be knocked out.
Yeah, he had to change direction in the air and managed to get a left hand down. We're talking about a veteran goalkeeper here as well, who's done so well for Celtic ever since joining the club. He's been a great goalkeeper, both, you know, domestically, internationally for many, many years. And it looked like, you know, this was going to be a crowning night for him once again. He made a number of really good saves. He organised defence brilliantly, made that fantastic save. And they're just unfortunate. The ball breaks down. Alphonso Davies deserves a lot of credit. As he says himself, instinct kicked in. He just threw himself in the way of the ball, got that little break. And it was a lovely touch because, of course, Vincent Kompany joined Manchester City in 2008. Kasper Schmeichel was a goalkeeper, a young goalkeeper there then, and the embrace that Kompany gave Kasper Schmeichel at the end as they looked at each other, just as Schmeichel was looking up to the heavens, and his dad was in the stands as well, watching on like he generally is. A cruel moment for him, a cruel night for Celtic, because it feels really harsh on them, because they scored the goal through Nicholas Kuhn. They had so many chances in that first half as well. When they got the chance in the second half, they got their moment. You thought, can you build? And it looked like they were taking the game to extra time. They were good value for it.
So let's go back to the beginning then. That goal that they got back late in the first leg for Celtic gave them, you know, more than a chance. Brendan Rodgers was talking before the game about how we're going to need to be brave but also sensible against this Bayern team that score so many goals, Daniele. And in the first half, as John said, they had a period where they had three or four, I think, wonderful opportunities to take the lead.
And all was led by the press up high with Jota, the selection from Rodgers to give a little bit more energy on the left-hand side. Maeda through the middle, Kuhn, Atate as well, orchestrating in the middle. They were so coordinated and they sniffed the opportunity. They knew they were Bayern, sometimes tend to overplay through the back line, and that's how they created the chances. They missed those chances in the first half, but then they kept believing, they stuck at it, they knew they had to suffer, and especially the fullbacks, Johnston and Schlupp, were incredible. So was Carter Vickers, the trusty with the clearance. Nobody from Celtic really put a foot wrong, and in the second half then they took all the chances. So they showed that there is a way they can go against top sides. They showed a lot of maturity throughout this season, throughout this campaign. A team that is dominating domestically, but then when it comes to Europe, is the underdog. And that's really great credit to the manager and the players.
The moment that Brendan Rodgers returned to Celtic after a very successful period at Leicester, when he led a team to a European semi-final, won the English FA Cup, I remember him saying, I want us to take the next step in the Champions League. And yet, they're not in the last 16 and they didn't get the extra time. But has he done that this season, John?
I think so. I think, bearing in mind the crazy start they had to their Champions League season, they recorded their greatest ever Champions League win on match day one against Slovan, and then on match day two suffered their worst ever defeat when they lost 7-1 at Dortmund. And having suffered that on match day two, this is the first time they've been back to Germany since, to produce that sort of performance on this sort of night, in this sort of football arena, is testament to what is a very good team. And their recruitment model has changed, I think, over the last couple of years. And they've got some very good young players that they've brought in. Very difficult for them to shop at the top of the market, of course. We know that. Even though Celtic is a globally famous football club, a huge football club with a great following, but they don't have the same muscle, of course, as a lot of the other clubs. So they have to shop in different markets. That's a good team that they've got there, and some very good players.
For Bayern, they will face Leverkusen or Atletico in the last 16. The draw is this Friday at the House of European Football in Neon. They kept going. Harry Kane was forced off, or came off at half-time. At the time of recording, we're not exactly sure why. We know he came into the game with a facial injury and he missed some training. But you heard there from Alphonso Davies that they had the belief right to the final whistle that somebody would come up with a moment, and it wasn't. Brilliant goal from 30 metres out, but ultimately Bayern got over the line, didn't have extra time, and I guess now moving forward will be looking down the road to see if they can be in their home stadium at the end of May for the final.
They have so much quality in the bench, the likes of Sane, Coman, Davies, Dier, who didn't come in, of course, Palinha. You will always expect Bayern to create something in the dying moments of a match, and credit to them for keep believing. They didn't need to equalize, they still had 30 minutes. However, this performance, as well as the first leg performance when they didn't create much, we raised some doubts in the Bayern's camp whether it's perhaps a year too early for them to go and challenge for the Champions League, because it goes to show that an organized side can put them under pressure. And tonight, a more clinical Celtic could have been away in the first half with one or two goals that would have completely changed the tie. Vincent Kompany has changed the way Bayern play. They press higher, they like to dominate possession, and he asks his defender to defend 50 meters away from the goal, but that carries some risks. And we saw it tonight. Unless they fine-tune those movements, Bayern might come up short. But of course, tonight is a great relief for them, for a team that is doing well overall. But I think the challenge for them is yet to come.
So Bayern into the last 16, still to come. We're going to look at tonight's other second legs, find out and review how the other three teams made it to the next stage of this season's competition.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, elsewhere, Benfica were another side looking to defend a solitary goal advantage in their tie. They welcomed Monaco to Lisbon, and there was yet more late drama.
Pavlidis across.
There again. Good hold-up play, and there's Minamino, and Monaco have their goal.
Akliouche motoring into the area,
and Apolo left it, Benzeguir, it's a beauty! And Monaco are all square on aggregate. Pavlidis, perfect. Benfica have the aggregate advantage. What an opportunity this is once again. Floated it well. This is absolute mayhem. This is a peach of a ball in, but what about the run and the touch from Kurt Dew? Glorious. And what a game. Benfica have got over the line just after a Champions League classic in Lisbon.
Mark Scott with the commentary, and as you can hear from the atmosphere at the Estadio de Luz, we lost him in the final goal. I can tell you it was Orkan Kukçu who actually a really good finish, arrived in the box, poked it beyond the goalkeeper to make it 3-3, and we can hear from him now.
I think the first half was not our best half, but the second half we did quite good, and we came better in the game, and we created more chances, and at the end, we are very happy to go through to the next step. And now in this phase, you have to win from everybody so everybody can come. It doesn't matter if it is Liverpool or Barcelona.
There we go. You don't get much time as a professional footballer before you're asked, what about the next round? Because it is, as he mentioned, Barcelona or Liverpool. That's going to be a great tie. Benfica, one of the great names of European football. I mean, Daniele, this was their last home game in the league phase finished 5-4. This one finished 3-3. There were penalties, there was incident until the very last second. Monaco were attacking, trying to force extra time. This was a brilliant game. Credit to both teams, really.
These are teams that are very exciting to watch, and they've been like that for the entire league phase. I feel Benfica have improved since Bruno Lage took over Roger Schmidt, But the victory at home is in the Champions League is still eluding. It's only 1-9 for them, and today the risk. On the other hand, Monaco, young side, very well drilled by Adli Hütter, an experienced manager, and with the likes of Akliuche, Benseguir, a team that can really produce fast turnovers. So I think it would have been a match for any team had they qualified. Overall, Monaco that also won against Benfica, that also won against Monaco in the league phase, probably deserve to go through. But yeah, perhaps in the round of 16, another high-scoring game. It could be Barcelona again, so you know what to expect.
Yeah, and they have a goal scorer.
Yeah,
Pavlidis.
Pavlidis is probably top five or number nines in Europe at the moment. Great technique, great strengths, cool head as well. Scores with his national team as well. Scored against England not so long ago. So proven goal scorer at international stage.
John, on Monaco quickly, the last time that they reached the round of 16 actually, and they were very close tonight, was in 2017 when that brilliant team with Kylian Mbappe reached the semi-finals. And they have, Daniela just mentioned some of the names there. I know you've commentated on them this season. They have some really exciting young players who will be pretty devastated, I'm sure, having given so much to this tie and gone out. But in terms of them in 12 months' time, if they're back in the Champions League, they're a very exciting club at the moment.
That side that we saw go nearly all the way in 2017 had one more year in the Champions League, if you remember, before the side broke up. It was basically picked apart by the big vultures who were coming in to take the players left, right and centre across Europe. What they'll want to do now is keep that side and the nucleus of that side together, because you can see that there's a really good dynamic there, a really good team ethic. And whilst there may not be the natural superstars to pick off, there's players that other teams will covet, I think, in that Monaco squad. But yes, their recruitment model looks really good. That team looks really good. And they're going to be back next year, aren't they? Definitely. I mean, they've contributed a lot to this season's competition.
They unfortunately headed out after a great effort away from home in the second league. Benfica then through, and as you mentioned, will face Barcelona or Liverpool. Now, the other late game had, I mean, goals galore as well. Storylines all over it in Bergamo. Club Brugge headed into the second leg with Atalanta with a very narrow lead after a last-gasp winner at home last week. And they had a dream start in northern Italy.
Maybe an early chance here for Club Brugge. Talbi opening up. Oh, he scored! What a start for Club Brugge! Shani. Shackled there by Ederson, but Yashari has gone on. It could be two. Great save. Another rebound. It's in. Talbi at the double. And Club Brugge at more than 1 foot in the round of 16 now. It could be another massive upset in this competition. Pasalic in there again. And Van Aken needs the breakaway. And Club Brugge are threatened for these situations throughout the tie. Zonis. Jukla. He's going for it again. He scores. This is sensational! As good a first half as you could wish to see in the Champions League from Club Brugge. Oh, it's up Acosta in behind here. Lookman! He's only been on the field 35 seconds, and Adamola Lookman has given Atalanta hope. Adamola Lookman, who came on at half-time, back from injury. Oh, it's saved! And the rebound is put wide. Simon Mignolet, the veteran, the hero.
So in the end, they went through 5-2 on aggregate, Club Brugge. What a result for them. And they will face Lille or Aston Villa in Friday's draw in the round of 16. Daniele, we've seen Atalanta play brilliant football all season long. They're in the Serie A title race. They had great success in Europe last season. So just how impressive over the two legs, but particularly tonight, was that Club Brugge performance?
Tactically, they were spot on in terms of pressing and in terms of intensity right from the beginning, same as in the first leg. And they surprised Atalanta playing their own game. Atalanta is all about high intensity, but Brugge went one gear more, if you like, and scored early, were also clinical, took the chances. This is a team that has recruited well, it's got a lot of young players, very well managed by Nicky Hayen. Last season, semi-finalists of the Conference League, so obviously they are building a very good pedigree in Europe, and to be in the round of 16, they totally deserve it, really, this time around. For Atalanta, it is unfortunate. I feel Atalanta perhaps they picked too soon in the season, during the group stage. They were almost going through as top eight, and they've only won three of the last 11 games in all competitions. They've been affected by a couple of injuries, but tonight it was the chance. He would have felt after the first leg they could have been in control, and some maybe lack of experience as well there. And yeah, but I think Bruges totally deserves to go through.
Chemsdeen Talbi got two of the goals at 19, his first two in the Champions League in terms of Club Brugge youngsters who are really performing, and Ferran Jukla, who is 26 now, but the Spanish forward has been fantastic for them through the league phase and now in the knockout phase playoffs. So Club Brugge through 5-2 on aggregate. We're going to stay in Italy because in tonight's early kickoff, Feyenoord headed to San Siro with the unenviable task of defending a 1-0 first leg advantage. Their nerves were tested early on.
Ball is clipped into the back post, headed back across, goal! And Milan have scored inside a minute. Santiago Jimenez against his former club. The aggregate scores a level and he's come back to haunt Feyenoord. Rafael Leao, Hernandez outside him. Here is Teo Hernandez. And it's a dive for Teo Hernandez, who is going to get a red card. It's a second yellow card for the Milan left back. Well, this could be a huge moment in the game. They've recycled it, Feyenoord got it back into Hugo Bueno. Tempting cross, brilliant goal. That's how they break them down. Julian Carranza with the header. And Feyenoord are in front in the tie again. And now with a man advantage. And Feyenoord are into the round of 16 of the Champions League. They are the first side to progress from the knockout phase playoffs. And they have knocked out the mighty Milan.
I love that you could hear that roar from the away end in the top tier of the San Siro. That's how loud the Feyenoord fans were at full-time. Brilliant result for them. You heard their commentary from Steve Wilson. Santiago Jimenez, who left Feyenoord 2 weeks ago and has now played against them twice, scored against them, becoming the first player, would you believe, to both score for and against the same team, excluding own goals, in a single Champions League campaign. This one, much better for Feyenoord, who are through. The average age of 23 years and 258 days. Their youngest ever in this competition. And remember, they won the European Cup in Milan at San Siro in 1970. I guess the old head tonight was David Hancho, who brought up that average age a little bit. He was fantastic. And we can hear from a delighted centre-back now, having helped his team go through.
It's amazing, and yeah, especially nobody was thinking that we can go through this, and it's something amazing when you look at our traveling squad, because we have so many injured players, and so I'm so happy, and for sure it's one of my biggest achievements in my career so far. For me especially, the Champions League is something special, so I'm really proud of what we did tonight and that we got through.
A final will face Inter or Arsenal in the round of 16. Daniele, he alluded to it. Double figures in terms of players out for this game. They departed company with their head coach, Brian Priss, last week. Pascal Bouchard in temporary charge. I mean, they were... The game swung on the red card, correctly given. But this is a... amazing effort from this group of players.
And the first leg, the effort that they put in paid off, when probably they deserved to win by more than one goal margin. A Feyenoord side that had lost the last three games they played in Italy against Italian oppositions. And this time, with the first shot on target, they managed to score. Milan had chances in the first half, could have gone 2 or 3 nil up. But this is another night they will look with a lot of regrets, really. for a chance that they didn't take after a perfect start, after scoring after 40 seconds against a young and inexperienced Feyenoord side that had a couple of 19 years old, Redmond and Reed, and a 20 years old in the starting 11. Milan will ask themselves, why are we not able to deliver consistently, and we only step up when we are under pressure?
Teo Hernandez with two yellow cards. And boy, did Feyenoord take their opportunity against the 10 men to go through. And as I mentioned, Inter or Arsenal await the draw for the round of 16 and actually the quarterfinals and the semi-finals this Friday, the 21st of February, at the House of European Football in Nyon, midday Central European time. A reminder that on Wednesday, we have another action-packed night as four more teams aim to join the 12 clubs now through to the round of 16. Our commentary match, well, it needs no introduction. It's Real Madrid against Manchester City. Of course it is. Let's hear from the City boss, Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, you have to make an almost perfect game, obviously. Always we came with a more or less good result, and but the result is not the perfect situation. We have to attack, we have to score goals. This is the idea. The pressure is there, but it's more than welcome. You cannot perform well without the pressure. And it's what it is, not the first time. It depends how we play, how we handle it. The moments always in this stadium, in the bigger stadiums. No matter it's here in Barcelona, Milan, Anfield. Always the bad moments that you have to suffer will be there. Try to reduce as less as possible.
Yeah, a modern day European classic, these two. The first leg was amazing. Jude Bellingham's late winner means Real Madrid are 3-2 up. But, John, I know you've covered a lot of these matches in the Bernabeu over the last four or
There's
five years.
There's been a few of them, hasn't there?
And they never disappoint, and the jeopardy is enormous. One of these two clubs might go all the way. We definitely know that one of them won't even make the round of 16 this season.
I think that when the format was first, when we first saw what the format was for this season's competition, and that the one and two seeds would pay well to finish first or second, because it put you in that favourable, and everyone would assume straight, oh well, that'll be Real Madrid, Manchester City, they'll be the top two. I don't think anyone had them as meeting in the knockout round of the competition, and it's just made it that little bit more mouth-watering, and the jeopardy, of course, for the clubs. No one wants to go out before they even get to the round of 16. It's going to be massive to lose one of those two clubs. Manchester City are in a rebuild for next season now. The signings they've made this January are with a focus on developing for next season. So for them, it's almost a bit of a free hit, because I don't think many are expecting them to turn the tie around with this Real Madrid side, who have such amazing potential going forward and power going forward, while Manchester City have been a bit leaky defensively. But Marmoush, Nico Gonzalez look two very good signings. They're going to finish in the top four, five in English football anyway. So it's almost a bit of a free hit for them, and they can have a real go at Real Madrid, and that makes it all the better for us watching.
Absolutely, and the game in the first leg was more on the Real Madrid side, I feel. They were the better side for longer spells, and they managed to cope with adversity a little bit better. They had a makeshift back four, and they carried a lot of threat in the second half as well. But with Manchester City coming off a good performance against Newcastle at the weekend, you would feel there is the potential for an upset. Only one win for Manchester City in six visits to the Bernabeu. Last season he finished 3-3 the semi-finals. Yeah. Hopefully he's half as good and will be in for a great show.
We certainly will. Full match commentary coming up every kick from the Bernabeu, apart from when we go to the other two late matches for the goals as they go in. Juventus go to Eindhoven, 2-1 up against PSV. I think no one, though, will be counting their chickens after what we've seen this season and tonight, frankly, in the second legs. Paris are 3-0 up at home against Brest, their fellow French opponents. And in the early game, Borussia Dortmund host Sporting. They are 3-0 up as well. Let's find out who will complete the round of 16. A final word on Tuesday, though, to a couple of players whose Champions League journey this season at least has come to an end. We can start with Atalanta's defender, Stefan Posch.
Hard to find words now because we started really, really unlucky. They had three chances, they scored three times. They we know what we could expect with counter-attacks because they had a lot of speed in the front. And they scored three times. It was, I felt like what's happening here. And yeah, we had second half, we had a lot of chances, also first half, but the ball didn't go in. And yeah, it was not our night, and also the first game in Bruges. So yeah, now we have to try and we have to keep going because Serie A is very important. Sunday is the next game and we have to focus on that now.
Yeah, Atalanta beaten by Club Brugge Celtic in our commentary match on Matchday Live. Desperately unlucky not to force extra time against Bayern. We can hear now from Jeffrey Schlupp talking about the mood in the Celtic camp.
So painful. I mean, you know, everyone in the change room, we were, of course, really proud of how we played. But, you know, to lose a game like that, it's really painful, of course. You know, when you're so close to an extra time and, you know, anything can happen after that. It's really disappointing, but of course, everyone put everything into the game. You know, we played almost a perfect match. You know, in the end of the day, we drew against Bayern Munich. Not many teams do that, so, you know, we have a lot of positives to take. Of course, it's really, football can be cruel sometimes. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way today.
Yeah, Jeffrey Schlupp, one of Celtic's many brilliant performers. But it's Bayern who go through. Moment of the night from Daniele and John. I've got a difficult question for you. Of the four teams through this evening, who's going to go the furthest in the competition and why? Who wants to go first?
Daniele?
Thank you.
John, you can't just piggyback and copy.
I can't. Okay. Fair enough. Try me.
I feel I might be very unpopular across Europe. I feel none of these four teams have great chances to make it into the quarterfinals.
Do you realise how many Bayern fans listen to this?
No, I know. But Bayern might play against Leverkusen or Atletico Madrid.
That's true.
However,
Daniele's looked at the draw.
However, the most balanced tie might be Bruges against Lille or Aston Villa. Therefore, I try to say I think maybe Bruges might go further. But based on the performance on the night, maybe Feyenoord as well could be the big surprise. So as you said, I'm sitting on a very large fence.
I'm not answering until the draw's made. No. The funny thing is you didn't mention Benfica.
Because they play either Barcelona or
Liverpool. I know, yeah. So obviously that's like one of those.
Yeah.
Naturally, you're going to say Bayern, aren't you? Because of the power that, and they will improve on tonight's performance. You're guaranteed that won't be allowed to happen again. You'd be very surprised if that happened again.
Find out when the round of 16 gets underway in a couple of weeks time. Congratulations though to Bayern, Benfica, Club Brugge and Feyenoord, who joined the eight clubs already through to the last 16. Four more will join them on Wednesday. Matchday Live will be back on air 15 minutes before Real Madrid against Manchester City. That game live, plus the goals as they go in from the rest of the night's games. And if it's half as good as the first night of the knockout phase playoff second legs, we're in for a treat. My thanks to Daniele and John and the rest of the Matchday team. But for me, Chris Parrott, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.